Pinkerton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardon.
The Boilermakers look to replicate their performance of last week, but do so Saturday versus a much more formidable opponent in Iowa. Hi, I'm Kyle Charters. Tom Dienhart, Brian Newbern, and Alan Carpet coming up on the Golden Black Radio pregame.
All right, Tom, Purdue at Iowa, noon Eastern time on Saturday, 11 o'clock there locally as it's homecoming for the Hawkeyes. Purdue will try to replicate its homecoming performance against Maryland, against a little bit better opponent in Iowa. Now the Hawkeyes are coming off back-to-back losses, but Iowa is 4-2 and probably one of the better teams in the Big Ten. Can Purdue replicate what it did a week ago?
Could be tough, a step up in competition, obviously, Kyle. But like you mentioned, maybe Purdue's getting Iowa at the right time, two losses in a row, albeit to quality competition, losing at Michigan. Then, of course, last week losing at home to Penn State. Iowa's offense has looked sluggish the last 2 weeks, just one touchdown. So who knows, Kyle? And also remember this, Purdue won its last time it visited Iowa City. You were probably there. And the Boilermakers have won two in a row against the Hawkeyes. So who knows, maybe Purdue has some more Hawkeye spell magic they can toss on Kirk Ferentz and company.
Yeah, either catching Iowa at the right time or catching them at the wrong time, depending on your perspective. What's the biggest thing you think that needs to carry over for Purdue?
You know, that offensive performance that they displayed last Saturday against Maryland. Again, the Terps aren't a super quality defensive unit, but still, Kyle, to see that offense finally find a rhythm, finally be productive without so many of its playmakers, had to be encouraging for Jeff Brohm and company. They're going to have to continue that, Kyle. Strike for big plays, because I don't think they're going to win a 17-14 game with Iowa. If somehow they can find that offensive groove again and make Stanley try to throw it a lot, make Iowa try to match its points, you lack Purdue's chances, I think, in a scenario like that.
Seems like every week more and more freshmen are added to the list of standing out for the Boilermakers. I mean, Jack Plummer and David Bell were both award winners by the Big Ten last week, but Corey Trice had a big week. I think Cam Allen continues to get better. Cauley Saunders came in and played a little bit for Purdue. It just seems like, you know, every week there's another guy added to that list, and those guys are playing pretty well. It's not like you can even, in some instances, tell that they're freshmen.
Yeah, it's been incredible, the youth, the injection of youngsters into the 2019 Purdue depth chart. Really stupefying to see that they've been as productive as they have been, given, again, how young the team is, Kyle. Dejon Hewitt was another kid who made his debut last weekend, a freshman running back from the Nashville area. Sounds like, according to Jeff Brohm, we may see more of him moving forward. Eric Miller, a redshirt freshman, got his first start at right offensive tackle. He's a big kid, Kyle. If he continues to fill out, maybe he can be a real anchor on that side of the ball. So again, the freshmen, like you said, continue to really carry a big load for Purdue. They're going to have to continue to do so if this team wants to find those four more victories it needs for bowl eligibility.
So Iowa comes in having lost a couple of games in a row. Now, it did so against Michigan and Penn State. I would venture to say there's probably maybe one or two teams in the Big Ten that wouldn't get swept by those two teams in a two-week span, Ohio State, maybe Wisconsin. So not shocking that Iowa took a couple of close losses on the road than at home. But this is an Iowa team that's hungry to get back in the win column. And, you know, you look at their team, and there's not a whole lot there that it does wrong.
Exactly right. Anybody who's watched Big Ten football for any length of time knows the MO of Kirk Ferentz's Hawkeye program. He took over there in 1999. This is his 21st season in Iowa City, if you can believe it, Kyle. Again, Iowa's only had two coaches since 1979. Of course, Hayden Fry was there for 20 years before Ferentz. So you're right. The template's been set in Iowa City for years. Defensively, they don't get too exotic with blitzes and schemes. They want to keep things in front of them, make opponents earn their yards, not give up big plays. And offensively, they want to punch you in the nose with a strong physical ground game, traditionally strong offensive lines as well, play action passes. So, again, and that's the Iowa modus operandi, as they say. And the tight end's typically a big part of the Iowa offense historically, Kyle. But this year, they really haven't found a tight end that they can really go to often.
Purdue got Tario Fuller back last week. Richie Worship was in uniform as well. Is Purdue getting anybody back this week?
I think we may see Jared Sparks. He's missed, I think, the last four games. Had an ankle issue. Tuesday, he was just in sweats, but Wednesday, when I was at practice, he was full go in the same gear as every other player, running routes, catching passes. So maybe we'll see Jared Sparks. Anthony Watts is another guy, Kyle. Jeff Brohm sounded a little ominous about Watts' short-term future the last few days when we spoke to him. But he's been at practice, too, wearing a big brace on his right elbow. He's been going through drills with the linemen. That'd be a big boost if they could have a guy like Anthony Watts on the interior of that D-line to deal with, again, a physical Iowa offense that wants to run the football.
Tom's conversation with Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll also bring Tom back in to talk some Big Ten football and help us to break this game down against Iowa a little bit further later on in the podcast. Before we get to all that, though, let's check in with WLFI meteorologist Annie Brown.
I'm Precision 18 meteorologist Annie Brown here with your forecast. Well, a frigid start to Friday with temperatures in the lower 30s. As a result, the National Weather Service issued an area-wide frost advisory with patchy frost likely to develop before 9 a.m. We'll stay dry under a partly to mostly sunny sky with a nice rebound in temperatures by this afternoon. Near seasonal highs return in the mid to lower 60s. You'll need to bundle up if you're headed out for Friday night frenzy as temperatures fall into the lower 50s shortly after sunset. Better overnight lows, topping out right around 40 degrees. As we look towards the weekend, Saturday brings warmer temperatures in the upper 60s as well as our next chance for a few spotty showers during the afternoon and early evening. Drier air expected for Sunday under a partly sunny sky with highs pleasantly warm around 70 degrees. The better chance for rain and a few storms arrives on Monday with widespread showers likely throughout the day and lingering into Tuesday morning with cooler temperatures returning to the forecast. For more weather from where you live, check out our weather blog or head to our website, WLFI.com. From News 18, I'm Annie Brown.
This is a Horizon Bank commercial for loans. It's a time most advertisers carve out to tell you all about themselves, why you should like them. In short, a chance for them to talk to you. So why aren't we telling you about our loan services? We're waiting for you to tell us about yourself, because what you have to say is more important than what we have to say. Visit horizonbank.com to get a conversation started.
Weather brought to you by Horizon Bank. Coming up next, Tom's conversation with Tom Cakert, the publisher of HawkeyeReport.com.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
Hey, Tom Dean, already have on the phone. Longtime Iowa Hawkeye media member Tom Caker covers the Hawkeyes as part of the Rivals Iowahawkeyes.com network. And Tom, we just want to get a quick rundown on the Iowa Hawkeyes. 4-2 this year. They lost a couple games in a row at Michigan, at home to Penn State. Sort of give us an idea where this team sits offensively. It looks like they're having some issues running the football so far out of the gate.
Yeah, you know, they were doing really, really well up until the last 2 weeks running the football. And it was a big emphasis going into this year that they wanted to improve the run game, and they felt that was the most important thing that they could do offensively. And that's kind of been one of the foundational aspects of Kirk Ferentz since he arrived at Iowa, is they want to establish the run. And the last 2 weeks have just, you know, not been good. You know, the Michigan game, that one net yard running, that included 65 yards worth of sacks of Nate Stanley, but still, if you even take that out, they only had 66 yards running. And then this past weekend, they really couldn't establish the run the way they needed to against Penn State. So it has been a slog the last 2 weeks, but other than that, they were really pretty effective running the football in the first four games. So you know, maybe a step up in class revealed that maybe they're not as good as we thought they were, you know, after four games.
Nate Stanley, I think he's number two in the Big Ten in passing yards, or number three overall in passing yards. He looks like he's slinging the ball around, having a good season. Looks like overall, Tom, it's an Iowa team that's really relied a lot on his big right arm so far.
Yeah, and senior quarterback, you're going to rely on that. The big thing with Stanley the last 2 weeks is he's thrown four interceptions. And that's a big reason why Iowa lost the last 2 weeks, was they had gone the first four games with just one turnover, and that was a fumble on kind of a fluky mistake by the fullback trying to throw the ball back to Stanley when he was getting hit, and he just lost the ball. But the last two games, they've had multiple turnovers, you know, a couple fumbles, and then obviously the four interceptions, and that has been kind of their undoing. It's a different passing game with Iowa this year with Stanley, probably one of the more talented groups of wide receivers that Kirk Ferentz has had, with Amir Smith-Marset, Brandon Smith, who had the great catch this past weekend for the touchdown against Penn State late to get them their first touchdown in two games. But Nico Reganey's done really well. But what they don't have is a tight end that's been a kind of a staple under Ferentz, with two guys going to the NFL and Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson. Both those guys left early, and they really didn't have, as it turns out, a guy that's kind of the next guy at tight end. So I think that's maybe shown up a little bit in the last 2 weeks, that security blanket, being able to throw to a guy like a Hockenson in tight situations to help you keep moving the ball.
Iowa's got a great defensive coordinator, Phil Parker, been at Kirk Ferentz's side forever. Give us a breakdown of that Hawkeye defense. I know up front they got some dynamic ends led by A.J. Epenesa, but, you know, Tom, I think he only has three sacks this year, and it doesn't look like Iowa's sack total is probably where fans and experts thought it would be at this point. Talk about that Iowa front seven in particular, including that line.
Yeah, Phil has been with Kirk the whole time. He's the last assistant that's been through every year with Kirk, and you know, he was a defensive back coach, and then eventually when Norm Parker retired, he took over, and they really haven't missed a beat. I mean, the defense has been solid, even the last 2 weeks, you know, giving up 10 points to Michigan and then 17 to a good Penn State team this past weekend. It gives you a chance to win every week with the defense that they play. The big issue with Iowa is they just haven't. Last year they were creating turnovers like crazy, and they were sacking the quarterback. They had 35 sacks last year with, you know, Anthony Nelson on the other edge, Parker Hesse. They just had a really, really solid defensive line, and a two deep of a defensive line. You remember last year, Epenesa didn't even start for them. and he had 10.5 sacks. And this year they've just had much more difficulty getting him free. He's facing more double teams and a lot of chipping going at him. Just the focus is to when you're looking at Iowa's defensive line is you're trying to stop Epinesa, and they've done opponents have done a pretty good job of doing that. So the sack total's way down, the pressures are way down, but it's not as bad as the sack total. The sack total is just appreciably down, and as a result, you've seen fewer turnovers and fewer interceptions this season by Iowa. And that's kind of when Iowa's really good. That's when they have the 30 plus turnover type years, and they're just not having that this year. Last year they intercepted 20 passes. I think they've got 4 now for the entire year. So it's just they haven't created a lot of short fields via turnovers or scoop and scores, anything like that this year.
Lastly, Tom, give me a couple keys for Iowa to win this game Saturday. You realize, right, Purdue's won the last two against Iowa. They won 2 of their last 3 trips to Kinnick Stadium. Give me a couple of things, again, the Hawkeyes need to do to get back on the winning track and in their 2-game slide.
Yeah, Jeff Brohm has really come in and just kind of owned Iowa the last 2 years. Remember the game 2 years ago where they came out in the third quarter and just started challenging one of Iowa's corners and just blitzed them with 2 quick touchdown passes, and that was the difference in the game. Deep balls that Coach Brohm likes to throw really found a home. I think the big thing for Iowa, obviously, prevent those big plays. That's the number one thing that Phil Parker always has on his board every week is you can't give up the explosive plays down the field. And that's going to be a monster issue given the way Purdue likes to play. 2, I cut the turnovers down. Iowa is a low margin for error team. They've got to be able to not turn the ball over. And if they can do that, then it gives them a chance to win just about every game. And I think the third thing is they've got to figure out how to get the run game going because teams are just pinning their ears back against Stanley right now. And the offensive line has been changing a lot. They've in the 6 games, they've had 5 different starting lineups there, and they just haven't had the continuity that I think they hoped for. And it's been leaky. And the run blocking hasn't been as good. The pass blocking has had some holes. So they've got to be able to give Stanley some time. But the run game sets everything up because if they can run the ball, then they can run play action, and that's going to help. That's where Stanley's at his best is in the play action game.
You heard it from Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, part of the Rivals Network. Tom, always appreciate your insight. Thanks again, sir.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is the Golden Black Radio pregame show, the most in-depth guide to Saturday's game you'll find, featuring the staff of Golden Black.
All right, let's bring in Brian Newberg, get his perspective on Purdue and Iowa coming off the Maryland win for the Boilermakers last week. Brian, let's start there. What was the biggest takeaway for you from Saturday's victory for Purdue?
It just looked like Purdue, you know, is starting to find answers. You know, this is obviously not the team Purdue planned on having this season. But as time has gone on, you know, it looked like Purdue had its best plan offensively for the personnel it has. It looked like Purdue, whatever Purdue found mid-game at Penn State from a defensive perspective, seemed to carry over. Purdue gave up the two big plays against Maryland, but otherwise was pretty solid. Obviously generated turnovers, impactful turnovers, really, for the first time this season. It just looked like Purdue had answers to questions that it hadn't been able to answer prior. And that was going to take time with all this different personnel. You know, Purdue's offense this season was built for what? For getting Rondell Moore the ball in all sorts of different ways. Now, its offensive identity from that perspective in terms of its personnel has been shelved. So Purdue has had to kind of adjust on the fly to this new personnel. And it just looked like you know, Purdue had a really good plan for covering up its offensive line, for being able to make big plays, for generating some running game, for just being effective offensively. Now, obviously, Maryland, we always have to make note of this. Maryland is not Penn State. Maryland is not Iowa. But for them to function at the high level they functioned anyway on both sides of the ball, I thought really said something about this staff starting to figure it out with this hand they've been dealt.
And maybe then Iowa, a little bit of a measuring stick, because you do have the recency of Penn State. Jeff Brohm has compared Iowa a little bit to Penn State. So you find out on Saturday whether, you know, maybe those last three quarters that Purdue played against Penn State are real, or maybe the first quarter Purdue played against Penn State is real, or maybe it's somewhere in the middle. And, you know, find out a little bit how much of the improvements against Maryland really matter against better competition.
Yeah, I think Jeff Brohm compared Iowa to Penn State from a caliber perspective, yeah. Maybe not necessarily across the board personnel. I don't think Iowa is as good across the board as Penn State is. That doesn't mean they're not good. But I also don't think that they're as high-powered an offense. I don't think Iowa is going to come out and score at will in the first quarter, and that's what decided that Penn State game. That's what took Purdue out of its offensive game plan, obviously put them in a huge hole on the scoreboard. I don't think Iowa has the capacity to do that sort of thing, but I think this is going to be another big line of scrimmage game for Purdue, and that's where its limitations this season have kind of been most acute. You know, the offensive line kind of is what it is. I think that, you know, Purdue found some answers there against Maryland. Iowa is a different animal. Purdue is very young on the defensive line, and Iowa's always been one of those teams that if there's a vulnerability there, they will try to exploit it. Now, their offensive line's not having the best season. This is a very un-Iowa-like offensive line this particular season. That doesn't mean they don't have an NFL first-rounder out there. But I think that, you know, it's going to be typical Iowa. You know, if they can win 13-6, they're more than happy to.
Yeah.
Purdue's going to have to, you know, do some of what it did offensively against Maryland, find ways to score, find ways to make big plays, find ways to have some balance, you know. When you get in 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, you got to make those. Purdue was unbelievable on 3rd-down against Maryland. Purdue's got to be able to carry that sort of thing over, stay on the field, because Purdue's defense, too, is way better.
Mm-hmm.
When the offense is staying on the field as well.
Purdue had a couple more injuries last week, ones that we didn't know until game day. What's it say about Purdue that the next man up, at least in that game, you know, played well, whether it be Jalen Alexander or Collie Saunders, or, you know, Samisi came in and made a play, a couple of the defensive tackles, you know, Jeff Marks was in there and got his name called a couple of times. What's that mean to you?
It's just a kind of a credit to those guys. You know, I mean, coaches talk all the time about everybody's got to be ready to play, and it would be human nature to not necessarily believe it. But if there's ever been a season in Purdue football history where every man on the roster has to believe there's a possibility they're getting in the game, this would be it, because it's been happening for 7 weeks now. So it's a credit to them. I mean, I guess on some level it's also a credit to the plan Purdue's had in place that they're able to just kind of plug and play here.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, there are still guys out there who they've played one game basically, and I don't know if I'd call them proven quite yet. There are still there very well could still be struggles ahead here for Purdue. I mean, I don't think the Maryland game, any of the positives that were shown in the Penn State game for the final three quarters, I don't know if those are necessarily Purdue's new reality. They are still in a very difficult position from a personnel standpoint. But obviously the Maryland game, everything was very, very positive, and that's mm-hmm. a credit to, you know, both the coaching staff and all of those guys who maybe weren't even on the depth chart a couple weeks ago who were out there playing. So obviously a really good day for Purdue. What they take from it from here on out, we'll see.
Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
It's Brian Neuber with his perspective of Purdue, Iowa, looking back to the Maryland game, of course, as well. Let's bring in Tom Dienhardt again, talk a little bit of Big Ten football. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
All right, Tom, let's talk a little bit of Big Ten football with our Big Ten Roundup. Three games in particular we want to take a look at, and one of them is on Friday night. Number 4, Ohio State traveling to Northwestern, a late 1:30 kickoff. Ohio State favored in this one by 28 points. I thought it was at least showed a good sense of humor by the Wildcats, their Twitter account, making it look like they had grown the grass up to 9 inches for this one to try to slow down those speedy Buckeyes. Don't think that's necessarily reality on Friday, but is telling Northwestern's got to do something to slow down the Buckeyes.
Nobody has, Kyle. I'm not sure Northwestern's going to have any answers given some of their issues this year. And boy, the Buckeyes, what a juggernaut. People are already trying to project the four teams that are going to make the college football playoff, and Ohio State's a school that gets mentioned often. Justin Fields has been the real deal since transferring from Georgia. Ryan Day has picked up where Urban Meyer left off. Most importantly, Kyle, for Ohio State, the defense, which was so bad last year by their standards, has really gotten a lot better. A new coordinator there, Jeff Hafley, has made a big difference. So you combine that offensive power with the defense that now has its teeth again, led by, of course, Chase Young, the All-American defensive end. Could be a long night for the Wildcats there along the banks of the old Michigan, Lake Michigan.
Yeah, Northwestern doesn't score very well in a game that Ohio State almost certainly, it seems like, is going to put some points on the board. Indiana playing at Maryland on Saturday, 3:30 with that kickoff. Indiana favored by 5.5 points in this. I find this interesting. Maryland was favored at Purdue, loses the game badly, goes back home and finds itself an underdog to Indiana at home. Tells you a little bit about the swing of the feeling of the Terrapins here in just a week's span.
Yeah, this game really intrigues me a lot. It's off the radar. But if you're a Big Ten fan, I think this should fascinate you as well for a lot of the reasons you laid out there, Kyle. Desperation for Maryland, I think. If they want any shot to get to bowl eligibility, you got to protect your home turf there in College Park, Maryland, Byrd Stadium. Find a way to beat an Indiana team that's playing pretty well. And again, the Hoosiers, they think they probably should win this game. They're coming off maybe their best effort of the season, really running roughshod over Rutgers last week down there in Bloomington. So a fascinating game, a game both teams need to win. Again, I'm like you, Kyle. If I was a bettor, I think I would take the points in Maryland. I think they're going to find a way to protect that home turf and get that win.
All right, let's go to the primetime game in the Big Ten, and that brings us to Rutgers, that's hosting Minnesota. No, that takes us to Penn State hosting Michigan. That's number 16 Wolverines against number 7 Penn State in primetime, 7:30 on Saturday. The Nittany Lions favored by 8.5 points against Michigan. Many people are sort of gearing up for that Penn State-Ohio State game in Week 11, but the Lions, before they even get to that point, have this game against Michigan, at Michigan State, at Minnesota, and then Indiana at home. So quite the gauntlet here for Penn State after it went to Iowa last weekend and got a big victory. Can the Nittany Lions keep it up against Michigan?
Without a doubt. This is James Franklin's best team in his 6 years there in State College, PA, Kyle. Purdue fans got an up-close look at this squad defensively. Definitely a cut above. The front seven in particular, those two defensive ends, Shaka Tony, something off the edge. Offensively, Sean Clifford's been a lot better than I thought he was going to be, Kyle. Noah Cain's emerging at running back, K.J. Hamler at receiver. But most importantly, if you're Michigan, your biggest issue has been your offense all year with Shea Patterson. They really have not gotten on track against quality foes. I just don't see Michigan with that offense going into Penn State having any success against that defense and in that primetime environment.
That's the Big Ten Roundup. When we come back, we'll hear from Alan Karpik at his historical view of Purdue and Iowa and more. That's coming up on Golden Black Radio.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
Thank you, Kyle. And the story of this series between Purdue and Iowa has been how much Purdue has dominated Iowa over the years. And that, of course, really stems from that 20-some year span from 1961 to 1980 when Purdue won all those games in a row, starting off with a win in 1961 in the rain, 9-0 win, and some amazing victories during that span. But I think one of the correlations that you look at today is, you know, all the freshman touchdowns last week for the Boilermakers in the win over Maryland, 5 touchdowns by 4 freshmen. One guy, 1973 against Iowa, Mike Northington, scores 5 touchdowns, was a Big Ten record at the time for a true freshman. And then, but what is also interesting about that game in 73 was the fact that there was a 6th touchdown by a freshman, of course, that being Scott Durking, his first career touchdown as a Boilermaker. And that the fact that Northington and Durking became the black and gold twins, kind of politically incorrect at the time, but they both shared running back duties in 1974 before Northington moved to defensive back. And, of course, Durking stayed at running back at Purdue and became an all-Big Ten level player. So lots of history between Purdue and Iowa. And, of course, the Boilermakers have had some success up in Iowa City as well. Their last 3 victories, they've had losing records as a team heading into Iowa City's and still able to pull off a victory. So it will be interesting to see Saturday if the Boilermakers can make that happen again.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill and Downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring back in Tom Dienhart, break down a little bit of Purdue, Iowa, noon kickoff in Iowa City. Okay, Tom, here's the whole game right here for you. Purdue averages, 324 yards passing. Iowa gives up 160 yards through the air on defense. Which unit wins out there on Saturday?
I think Iowa still has that edge, Kyle. I know Purdue's coming off that nice effort against Maryland. I still think up front it's going to be a struggle for Purdue to keep Iowa's rush at bay, to give Jack Plummer enough time to throw that ball downfield. Now, the one caveat there is if somehow Purdue can manufacture a ground game again, they're coming off, I think, their season-best rushing effort last week, 129 yards, using motion, play action, misdirection, trying to gimmick things up a little bit. If they can do that, keep maybe Iowa's defense on its heels a little bit to respect the run, then maybe they can strike deep for some of those long passes that, as Purdue fans remember, Purdue's been able to victimize Iowa with the last 2 years.
Iowa's defense ranks basically fourth in both yardage and points allowed. The interesting thing, though, I thought, just looking at the Hawkeyes statistically, only 10 sacks on the whole season, and that's with A.J. Epinesa and Chauncey Golston on the other side. Now, if you look a little bit deeper into those stats, each has had a sack in the last two games against Michigan and Penn State. So four sacks out of those two defensive ends against the two best teams that Iowa has played this year. So maybe a sign that the Hawkeyes are starting to come around a little bit with this pass rush. But this group going to put more pressure on that offensive line for Purdue than what Maryland did a week ago. Jeff Brohm was able to scheme his way around getting some protection for Jack Plummer. Can he find a way to scheme around to get more protection for him on Saturday?
Going to be tough. Imagine A.J. Epinesa lining up over redshirt freshman right tackle Eric Miller for Purdue. They're going to have to chip him, keep an eye on Epinesa. Like you said, Courtney Golston, pretty good pass rusher as well. Remember, Epinesa led the Big Ten in sacks last year with 10.5, and he wasn't even a starter. This is probably his last year in college, probably going to be a top 10 pick. He's going to be every bit as good as those defensive ends Purdue saw against Penn State. So big task for that Purdue O-line, trying to deal with that Iowa front. And, again, you can slowly slow those guys down if you can come up with a rushing game some way, somehow. And, again, maybe we see more of Tario Fuller. Maybe Richie Worship makes his debut. Maybe that's the element Purdue gets injected that allows it to get a ground game going Saturday.
Purdue's defense has been solid for the last seven quarters, has allowed, the three in the six quarters, and really the seventh quarter they did allow that touchdown right a couple minutes in. But really, I've played pretty well for that stretch. You look at Iowa, senior quarterback. They do have some good weapons on the outside, but maybe nothing that really jumps off the page at you, and they've been slowed down by a couple good defenses in the last couple of weeks. What can Purdue do defensively against the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, no wow guys, you're right, from a skill position standpoint. They lost their two good tight ends. T.J. Hockenson's gone, and they really haven't found a replacement tight end, a position they like to use so well in Iowa City. Running back, just sort of some guys. But the receiving core, Amir Smith-Marset, Brandon Smith, this is a group some people think Iowa watchers, maybe Kirk Ferentz's best group of wideouts. Again, they can get you throwing the ball more so than running the ball this year because they really struggled with their offensive line. I think the key for Purdue is going to be getting pressure on Nate Stanley. If you look at the Pro Football Focus metrics, like most quarterbacks, Kyle, Stanley struggles when he has pressure, but he's really struggled when he's had pressure this year. The key to that success of the Purdue defense the last, what, game and a half has been getting exotic, doing things schematically on defense, bringing pressure. They're going to have to continue to do that Saturday, get in Nate Stanley's face. Don't let him get comfortable. If they can do that, maybe they get turnovers, Kyle. Remember this, the last 2 weeks, Stanley's thrown 4 interceptions. Maybe Purdue can get some turnovers Saturday.
Yeah, Purdue finally has some turnovers over the last couple of weeks as well. That's been something that we've been waiting to happen. All right, so who wins?
I think Iowa still finds a way. I think they're about, what, an 18-point favorite. I think they're going to end that 2-year losing streak to Purdue. In my mind, Kyle, I'm thinking 29-17. I think Purdue keeps it close. I don't think Iowa's going to blow them out. But I think homecoming is going to motivate Iowa. The 2-game losing streak is going to motivate Iowa as well. And on their own personal 2-game losing streak, having lost to Michigan and Penn State the last 2 weeks, they know there's urgency. They have to win at home if they want to try to stay in that Big Ten West race with teams like Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think the Hawkeyes too well-balanced both offensively and defensively. I think the Boilermakers compete, play better than they did a couple of weeks ago in the loss at Penn State, but ultimately the Hawkeyes pull out of there with a 27-17 victory. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast this week. Of course, we'll be back again with a review of Purdue's game against Iowa. That'll drop on Monday morning. Thanks to all our sponsors on the show, helping us keep this thing rolling throughout the many seasons now that we've had this podcast. That'll do it for this week. Back again on Monday for Tom Dienhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.